There's an awful lot in that parasha, and it was quite a long one that we read. And I'm just going to take today just a small part of it from the Torah portion of Devarim in Devarim chapter 20. Let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you for the word that you've given me today out of this parasha. And I just pray that this word will be accepted and be received as it is meant, and that people will understand just what your word is actually saying. And we just give you the glory that you made me a literalist so that I can see these things in this manner. And I just pray that it will be received in such a way in Yeshua's name. Amen. So, as I said, I'm going to take two verses from Parashah 20. I've actually titled my message, Cities with Trees That Give Life. And it's taken from Devarim, two pieces, chapter 20, verses 10 and 12, and then to 12, and also chapter 20, verses 19 to 20. So if we could have the first one up, please. Thank you. Devarim 20, 10 to 12. When you advance on a town to attack it, first offer it terms for peace. If it accepts the terms for peace and opens its gates to you, then all the people there are to be put to forced labour and work for you. However, if they refuse to make peace with you, but prefer to make war against you, you are to put it, that is the town, under siege. And further down in the same chapter, it says in chapter verses 19 and 20, when in making war against a town in order to capture it, you are to lay siege to it for a long time, you are not to destroy its trees, cutting them down with an axe. You can eat their fruit, so don't cut them down. After all, are the trees in the field human beings, so that you have to besiege them too? However, if you know that certain trees provide no food, you may destroy them and cut them down in order to build siege works against the town making war with you until it falls. So this message, the cities with trees that gives life, to me is speaking about believers. And many people claim to be believers, but they never produce fruit and show their belief in their lives. Verses 19 and 20 spoke of trees of fruit that give life. When making war in verses 10 and 12, these trees must not be destroyed. And this is very logical in my opinion, as fruit trees provide sustenance for life for mankind. And as we liken that to people whose belief and walk in Yeshua is true and provides life to people who are hungry for Yehovah and his Torah. And that is the key. We have to have a hunger and a thirst for not just for Yehovah and for Yeshua, but also for his Torah, so we can live according to how we have been directed. Many people claim to be believers, but they never produce fruit that gives life to onlooking souls. And since our scripture is speaking about a city, we know that there is a city in the book of Revelation. It's called the New Jerusalem, or Jerusalem, that has a tree of life within it. And if you want to be preserved forever, you have to be the tree that bears fruit to give life to other souls. But these three verses before those speaking of the fruit trees also speak of warfare. The entire chapter of Devarim 20 spoke of warfare. We see the picture of Israel's confrontation with cities that Yehovah wants them to conquer. Notice that the word said that Israel must always approach the city with peace. They don't go making a lot of noise and starting war. They go in peace. Actual warfare would not occur unless the city did not accept that offer of peace. And the battle we face today is over souls. And this is an end time generation where the rulers of this world want all of us to either be deceased or living in such poor conditions that we have to eat bugs to survive. This is what we're seeing advertised on our TV to this very day. It's also being pushed daily with the quote, you will own nothing and be happy. They want to take what we have from us. This is not of the kingdom of Yehovah or what he has planned for us. Yah's kingdom is said to be like a mountain that spreads across the earth and fills every nation. The spreading is occurring right now, especially in the USA, where teenagers are coming into the kingdom by the hundreds, absolutely hundreds, and getting immersed. At the same time, though, in many countries, believers are being persecuted and even killed for their beliefs, especially in Myanmar and other places. And we can take heart from the book of Daniel in this, where it says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, in the days of those kings, the Elohim of heaven will establish a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not pass into the hands of another people. It will break to pieces and consume all those kingdoms, but it itself will stand forever. That kingdom is the kingdom of Yehovah. And we are all part of that kingdom of Yehovah, or we wouldn't be here today, or we wouldn't be listening and watching online. Yehovah is invading cities across the world, but these are not so much natural cities, they are lives of people. In Mishlei Proverbs, chapter 16 and verse 32, it says, he who controls his temper is better than a war hero. He who rules his spirit or ruach is better than he who captures a city. And in Mishlei 25, 28, like a city breached without walls is a person who lacks self-control. Yah looks at our spirits as if they are cities, according to these two verses. He also noted how he sees people as trees. And here we see it in, also see it as in his perspective, to see spirits as cities. Having no control over one's heart and anger is like a city that has no defense against the enemy. It's what's in our ruach, our spirit, and how we conduct ourselves is how people see us. And this tells us that the enemy has invaded a person's life. Satan, the devil, can gain entrance into your life and possess people, and does possess people. But on the other hand, someone who can control the ruach that is within the spirit that tries to enter them is better than a person who can take a city. But we have to control ourselves. We need to take the cities of our lives and not let the adversary have possession and ownership of them. Yehovah wants us to rule and reign with him. Where does he want us to rule and reign? In our lives. And Yah is conquering a city. He wants that city to be a tributary of him. In Devarim, Deuteronomy 20 and verse 11, it says, if it accepts the terms of peace and opens its gates to you, then the people there are to be put to forced labour and work for you. And this is how Yehovah looks at our lives. He desires to come in peace and cause us to open the gates of our hearts to allow him to come in and his follow him and his word, especially through Yeshua. We can be conduits, pipelines or tributaries of his Ruach or Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. Yehovah is going to destroy all that is evil one day. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is the enemy called death. And that's another reason why he noted that trees bearing fruit gives life that will be preserved. Yehovah wants to keep believers who are truly living Torah observant lives to live forever. Trees that offer death instead will be destroyed. The righteous will remain, the unrighteous will be destroyed. We have to be those trees of the righteous. So Yah's kingdom comes to people's lives as Israel's forces came to cities. Peace is offered to the city, and a desire to see the city become part of Yehovah's kingdom and to serve Yah's purpose. And this is good ownership from Yah. His kingdom offers eternal life to those within his kingdom. The writers of the scriptures said these things in Yochanan Aleph, or 1 John chapter 2, 1a. My little children, I write this to you so that you do not sin. And then in the same chapter in verse 4, and we write this to you in order that your joy may be complete. Yehovah wants us to live in peace and harmony, and he wants us to have joy overflowing. The only real peace that exists is in Yeshua. With him in our lives, this is where we have joy and complete peace, no matter what our circumstances might be, because we know that Yah is in control. You ready? Thank you. Okay, can we go to Tehillim, Psalms 84, verses 9 and 10, please? O Elohim, see our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand days. I have chosen rather to be a doorkeeper in the house of my Elohim than to dwell in the house of the wrong. To me, servitude to Yehovah is a joy and a pleasure. Living in a courtyard is living outside of an actual dwelling and in the courtyard. And Yah's house is so wonderful that one day in the court of his house is better than a thousand days dwelling inside the dwelling places of the wicked. Can anyone say amen to that one? Good, because I know I can. So look at it this way. It is like saying that one thousandth of Yah's wealth is better than the entire wealth of mankind put together. And this is how great the kingdom of Yah is. This is what we have to look at. You know, we mightn't have all the money in the world. Not one of us here does. Many of us live day to day. Many of us have mortgages. Many of us have debts. But the problem is we are rich. If you own one book in this world, you're rich. How many of you have got libraries full of books in your home? It is better to live one day in the house, in the kingdom of Yehovah, than it is a thousand in those that are controlled by House Satan. We are living in a wicked world, and Yehovah is going to destroy all the wickedness one day. We can all say hallelujah to that one, can't we? Before that, he comes in peace to every soul. And if the soul refuses his peace, judgment will come to that person. Warfare will ensue. A man cannot win the war against Yehovah's kingdom. It will be impossible. We might think that, you know, we're struggling now with what the world is wanting to put on us and our governments are trying to put on us. But we will win the war. The but is very big here. Yehovah rewards those in his kingdom with joy unspeakable and being full of peace and his glory. The cities that make peace with Israel will be followers for Israel. That is the people Israel. I'm not talking about the land Israel. But the cities that refuse peace and refuse Israel will be fought against in war. This goes along with the idea of fruit trees in verses 19 and 20 from chapter 20 that I mentioned earlier. So let us look at it again, just to remind you. In the chapter, good, it's there. When in making war against a town in order to capture it, you must lay siege to it for a long time. You are not to destroy its trees, cutting them down with an axe. You can eat their fruit, so don't cut them down. After all, they are the trees in the field, human beings, so that you have to besiege them too. However, if you know that certain trees provide no food, you may destroy them and cut them down in order to build siege works against the town, making war with you until it falls. Think of it. Trees that bear fruit will be preserved. Trees that do not bear fruit will be destroyed. This is warfare. People in the kingdom of Yah will be preserved, but they have to have the fruit of Yah within them. And Yehovah is saying the same principle as in Devarim 10 to 12 all over again, using trees this time. Cities that accept peace and have kind heart that is willing to serve Yah will be spared. Cities that resist and manifest a heart that refuses to serve Yah will be defeated and men will be slain. Is this what we can accept for our retrograde nation and the cities of it that have turned far away from Yah and his word? The agendas of the cities and of this nation are aligned to the One World Order, the World Economic Forum, the climate change agenda, of which none of these entities are of Yah, and could possibly lead and could not possibly lead one into the kingdom of Yah. The element in the pictures of the cities that adds to the thought of the fruit trees to me is as follows. Those cities which accept the will of Yehovah will be followers or conduits of Yah's word and his principles. Our city is full of conduits such as rivers, canals and waterways that run all the way through it. Think of a tributary of water. It is a channel of the main waterway, uses as extensions of itself. So the trees that bear fruit are like souls who are willing to do Yehovah's will according to his Torah. Now that's really important. It has to be according to his Torah, not according to somebody else's word. And this is the reason, and is that way that we become avenues and tributaries for Yah to use us, because we become the tributaries. And also when we become tributaries of a river, I think of that new Yerushalayim in heaven where the river of life flows, and we are tributaries of that river of life. And it's the reason when we compare these following scriptures that I'm about to say, we see believers as part of the overall body of Yeshua HaMashiach. In Revelation 22 and verse 2, it says, between the main street and the river of life, was the tree of life. 12 kinds of fruit, a different kind for every month. And the leaves of the tree were for healing the nations. That's in the holy city of New Jerusalem. But there's another tree of life near the river of life. When we look at Yehezkel or Ezekiel, chapter 47 and verse 12, it says, on both riverbanks will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not dry up, nor will their fruit fail. There will be a different kind of fruit each month because the water flows from the sanctuary, so that the fruit will be edible and the leaves will have healing properties. It's virtually the same, but it's different. One has trees flowing down both sides of the river, where the river of life in the New Jerusalem has one tree with different fruit every month. So why the discrepancy? I believe that when we enter the New Jerusalem, Yah sees all believers as part of the one body of Yeshua HaMashiach. There is only one tree. Okay? When Yah sees the sinner of the world, he sees one man, Adam. But when he sees believers who are sincere and followers of Yeshua and walked as he walked through his Torah-centered life, he sees one man, Yeshua HaMashiach. That to me is the reason why he sees many trees of life as one tree of life near the river in the New Jerusalem. Yeshua is the tree of life, and we are the branches. And this is why I use the menorah that I wear around my neck, and I've got one that looks a bit like a tree rather than the straight across one that's there. Because to me, it's the tree of life that I wear around my neck every day. Also, my prayer shawl that I got from Ben Yehuda Street in Yerushalayim is a tree of life. And it's always been important to me, the tree of life. And bearing the fruit of the tree of life is really important. The tree of life is so important to my walk in Yeshua that I wear it daily around my neck and every Shabbat and when I pray as a constant reminder of who I am in Yeshua and what fruit I have to produce each day. We might be branches of this tree or even tributaries of the river of life, which makes us the extension of his will. Both analogies work the same. In Mishlei Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, it says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls." Notice that Yah considers fruit coming from a righteous believer with the idea of winning souls. Why? Because the fruit of life is in the believer. It's the manifestation of those things that need to appear for souls to be saved. It is by our fruit that we are recognized as being different to the rest of the world. And that is why people might be drawn to you as they want what you have and need to know what it is that makes you different. That is when you can share with them and they are ripe for them and ready to receive. In my opinion, this is just my opinion, evangelists never really win souls. Evangelists run big meetings, they have altar calls, and they think they've led people into the kingdom. But they've never hung around long enough, one, to clean the souls, two, to see if the souls have ever produced fruit, or even to see if they've remained in the kingdom. They've given them this hype, and the people have come, and then they go. And they leave the people to fend for themselves. My experience, and I've been in the Christendom since 1951, is their own fruit is also never really apparent. We just have to take their word for it. They tell us stories, some of them big stories that really aren't true. In most cases, it is a ministry that is run to feed their own purpose and their source of a living standard, rather than a testimony of the fruit of the Ruach in their lives to draw people to them. You know, Yah doesn't want us to go fishing for souls. He wants souls to be drawn to us. He wants them drawn to us because they see something in us that's different from everybody else. Our lives need to be different. Our fruit should witness to others that our lives are filled with something others desire, such as showing the fruit of the Ruach that is part of our everyday walk. So let us look at what that might look like. We go to Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Ruach is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. Nothing in the Torah stands against such things. Think about it. Is your life showing love to all that you come across? How is your joy? Are you showing joy even in sad times in your life? Some things we have to work on, don't we? Peace is something I can't cope with conflict, never have. So peace is a high one on mine. Patience, I've got the patience that will last forever. And I can wait and wait and wait. Doesn't bother me. Yah gave me patience. Kindness, yes, I have that. And goodness, faithfulness. Humility, definitely, because I'm not one that's, I was brought up to this position kicking and screaming. It's not something I ever wanted to do. Self-control, well, being an autist, that can be a little bit difficult at times. Have to work on that one a lot. But the point is, we know what we've got to look at. We know what we've got to work on. We've got to know the fruit that we are to show others. Are we showing these attributes in our lives? If we're not, let us look at them and let us be extensions of Yehovah's will through them. Let us be tributaries to Yehovah's Ruach. Let us be the trees of life where our fruit is bringing people towards us, people wanting to know what we can, so they too can learn where they can get this beautiful fruit that we possess. And let us turn our cities of debauchery into cities of life. It doesn't matter where we live on this earth, we are all going through it. We have to be the cities of life through our witness of our fruit. Any questions? No questions? Well, I hope I've given you some homework for the weekend and for the week to look at. And may you be blessed through it. Let's go to the remembrance service.